Blog Talk Radio.
Coalition of Women of Color Blog Talk Radio Show, airing live from Stone Mountain, Georgia. Today is March 25th, and we are having some technical difficulties regarding the switchboard today. However, I thought this was we'll not be able to interact with any of the callers, but I wanted to actually go over, this must be a fine from God, what we want to basically go over, a long list of things that the coalition is doing, and I'm hoping for folks who are tuning in that they understand what the coalition's complete mission is and has been since its re-establishment. And I wanted to also inform everyone of a very, very strong event that takes place tomorrow, March 26th, at the Carpenters Local Union. 225. It is very imperative that the information that we have available is brought to the masses in a timely fashion. And understanding that everyone is running around trying to decipher what the stimulus package really is, what it does not do, it's real simple. When you are a part of the core group of individuals who have helped define the construction language in the provisions, you utilize that type of resources, and that's what the coalition is, the resources that tap into the actual understanding, because we were part of a strong network of women who have been working in the legislation on the national level for 30 years, directing information and directing empowerment of women in non-traditional employment, women that are in non-traditional trades, women that are business owners and entrepreneurs. And it's very imperative that everybody understands that with all the things that are going along, you will become sidebarred and blindsided based on information that's been put out to disseminate what's true and what's not. The community at large, in my understanding and being in business for the past 20-plus years, is that we are the last to receive the information, and we are the very last to be involved in the bigger picture. But in this case, the coalition has no stake in this outside of the fact that our mission as business owners is to collectively come together and provide communities, which is our contracting and construction communities, with the information to empower women of color and small businesses and women-owned businesses and tradeswomen and non-traditional employment. So we gain. This is something that we decided that we wanted to do. I believe what you want to call us our mark in the world. The National Coalition is a not-for-profit. We are not a nonprofit organization. We are an agency, a service agency, to help assist women and men in startup, youth in achieving their dreams. As if any other group, and if any other, I call it, person who of interest decides that they want to step out on faith and serve man, its ability to serve mankind, its community, we certainly are the individuals who have stepped out. My mother, Maggie Freeman, has invested a lot of her personal time and her personal money involved with the coalition. I wanted to make sure everybody understand that. Maggie Freeman is a retired sister that lives very comfortably, does not have to do anything that she wants to do, but she's doing this because of her charge in life to do all that she can to serve, because she always told me that she said, if they ever pulled me out of the post office, I told the Lord that I would serve. So I look at that, and I understand that's our plight. That's our focus. Well, that's hers, and that's mine, and my sister, Janora Bowens, who is the national president, who has sacrificed, you know, countless amount of time and money to continue to have this office to run diligently so that we can be a resource base. So I certainly wanted to bring that to light. I also want to share with you the current address of the event and what we're trying to accomplish out of that event, and that is going to be held at the 3500 Industrial Parkway in Atlanta, Georgia, at the local union 225. We have had countless amount of people to respond this afternoon to the event. And what this event is actually going to cover, you guys, is to help you understand what the American Recovery Act really does to empower businesses and communities, owners, and youth that are able to apply on projects that typically we never are able to get on. This is really weird because cannot see any of the callers, but I do know there's folks on there, and wanted to make sure that we actually had a concrete address. It's 3500 Atlanta Industrial Drive, Northwest Atlanta, Georgia 30331. It's local number 225. And what it is a labor relations with our United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Joiners of America, Southeastern Carpenters Regional and Council Carpenters. And this symposium is it's exploring contract opportunities regarding the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, preference for projects, which generating employment for infrastructure contracts, schools, construction, which is SEC 0.11112 of the stimulus package Title 29 USC 280. This is how to build capacity to be awarded projects. And the people that should attend this, you guys, are women of color businesses who want to build a new capacity base of services, subcontractors, and startup businesses. Now, let's talk about what we just said a moment ago. When we look at business owners, in order for a business owner to even significantly apply for any type of opportunity, he must have the capacity to achieve the goals that are required, not minority goals, but the requirements of the projects in which he's trying to go out to, be it construction, be it the barbershops, whatever. There are guidelines and parameters that outsidely defines whether or not you qualify to be in that business. The one thing that we have challenged, especially women of color in the South, is to challenge themselves on building capacity as a base of services that in which they are seeking to provide to someone else. And in the contracting industry and construction industry, it has been my experience and direct experience based on me being, I call an estimator by birth, that a lot of minority and minority women-owned firms do not have capacity to compete. And because capacity building is very important, that has always been shrugged past to go into programs that do not work. And there's been plenty of programs, and there's programs concurrently that are running over and over again that does not build capacity to qualify to even be a contractor. Musicians practice their art in order to be professionals. Musicians practice their trade. They practice their art in order to be proficient. People that are in contracting and construction do not practice that. They feel that it's something that's the easiest thing in the world to do. Well, guess what, guys? The infrastructure of the industry has completely changed to 21st century sustainability and material and technology and qualifications and the qualifications of a person or a business that can build capacity. The qualification has changed in terms of every aspect of business. It is time to learn what green means. It's time to learn what LEED means. It is time to understand that in the next 0 to 2 years, the industry itself will have turned into a professional industry. Now, the way that this money works is that the basic laborers, since people think laboring is simple, will have to be teachable and trainable to understand the safety guidelines on projects. And if you can't read and write, you cannot be on a construction site. I know we have a lot of immigrants, but look at all the accidents that happen because of the fact that a lot of them are not trained. Now, I applaud the Latina Association in Metro Atlanta because they have taken an intelligent educational role in the Latin American Association that's located on Buford Highway to train their men and women in the carpenters in order to define the outside requirements and being a part of the construction industry. Our organizations, the organizations that outside of the coalition, does not build on sustainability. We have reached out to as many women-owned, African-American, black, whatever you want to call it, women of color organizations to allow them the opportunity to just receive the information on behalf of their members. And we were reaching out to those individuals in the fashion of being affiliate partners so that you all will maintain your corporate identity and your structure. But we have organizations right now that are continuing to try to get contracts with the stimulus packet, but you don't qualify. You do not qualify. And so one of the things that we want to do in this symposium tomorrow is identify how to build capacity. Capacity on the basis of a new service that you provide. The subcontractors and startup businesses who want to stabilize workforce is what our directive is in involving the union and involving what the union has to offer in terms of joint apprenticeship training that is recognized by the Department of Education and the Department of Labor. Their curriculums are brought in and defined by people who are engineers and folks that are professionals in the construction industry. So, and until we understand that professional workforces are changing, this is something that we actually sent out last year, mass emails, that just as all the professions are changing, the construction industry is no different. And ideally, what this capacity to build capacity to be awarded projects for the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act is understanding what that reinvestment act is and actually what those guidelines are in order to meet those. And we were able to be a part of Wider Opportunity for Women, the Chicago Women of Trades, National Coalition of Women Business Owners, and several other organizations who, as I said at the beginning of the show, have been involved in changing policies that and creating policies that did not exist. 30 years ago, the policies did not exist for women. And so in 1979, the goals, in order to provide 6.9% goals, still are standardized inside all parts of construction to this date. And that was easily defined because of the women's movement. Now, this is not about a movement. This is about taking the opportunity with the American Recovery Act, this reinvestment, and knowing that the law states that anyone that is receiving any state, not say anyone, any state that is receiving and accepting monies, states like the state of Georgia is notorious for what we call washing the money through the state legislation and then recycled as if the money came out of the air. And then they'll say, oh, there's no goals. There's no requirements, but in involving what this means in terms of dollars and cents for contractors, Title VI of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 basically defines in layman's terms that if one federal dollar is accepted by any entity, that Title VI actually is a compliance plan that has to be used. In other words, if they take any federal money, the components of Title VI compliance plans must be enforced. And contractually, it means that, and I'll just read this to you. This is coming from a publisher for the Office of Federal Government. They said Title VI prohibits the following actions of recipients of federal assistance. including state departments that receive federal assistance and the entities to which state departments describe federal assistance. Recipients, either directly or through contractual means on the ground of race, color, national origin, shall not deny a person of opportunity to participate as a member of a planning or advisory body that is an integral part of the program. That's number one. Provides a service or benefit to an individual that is inferior to that provided to others in the program. Number three, provide an individual with a service or benefit in a manner different from others under the program. Permit discriminatory activities in a facility built in whole or in part with federal funds. Permit discriminatory activity in a facility built in whole or in part with federal funds. So if any federal funds are utilized for anything that you see that is going up, because guess what? The states have accepted the money. That's why certain states did not accept the money, because they know that over the period of years, especially Georgia, have hidden federal monies that they've received in grants and in loans and in bonds for years, and have stated there is no requirements or goals. But they also use this disseminating word, good faith effort. And because we sit back, or you guys sit back, and offer no means of relevance of understanding to each other, then when somebody like the coalition comes about, and because we have, and this is what something Steve Harvey said today, because we have the answers, instead of you accepting that, you reject it because you don't know that, and you feel that, why? How should we know? Well, we know because we're part of policy language. Our purpose is to identify policy changing, because the policies that are in place, especially in the South, in the southeastern states, are discriminatory in every way. There's a catch-22 going on with the Board of Regents right now that is very unjust. It's a catch-20, 2020, a catch-20, I guess you want to call it. In order to qualify, ladies and gentlemen, for Board of Regents projects, you must have a history of working with the Board of Regents. So how do you qualify with no history to work for the Board of Regents when they won't let you work for them in the first place, unless you work for as a subcontractor? And most of that time, we all know that the projects for the state of Georgia is very difficult to work with, and just imagine the Board of Regents. I say I owe the University of Georgia, or let's say Athens Tech, which is a primary example of a discriminatory facility and structure that's in place that we have firsthand knowledge of, because we actually had a taste of what it felt like to work at Athens Tech. Very backwoods, 1947, every type of disseminated way, hostile environment, that is how they function. On not just at the Atlanta, not just at the Athens Tech, but this is how they function at the technical systems here in Atlanta. The structure is set up for minority firms to fail. And I say that because when people like ourselves choose not to bring information out to the public eye, then the next person gets hit. So I wanted to voice that as well. And I also wanted to make sure everybody understood that all the information that I'm talking to you about is in a book. I tell people at all times, we are at 925 Main Street. If you call and make an appointment, you are able to look at anything that we're reading, any of the objectives in which we have is all in a book. It's not something that we wrote. We're just talking about federal guidelines, guidance about technical assistance, agencies that receive state agencies currently not having any kind of provisions under Title VI. But if a person makes a recommendation to the state, they have to look at that. And without any recourse, I'm gonna read something. It says, currently, most state agencies do not require an on-site compliance review. State agencies generally conduct few pre-award, award reviews, and those that are conducted tend to be superficial because of the agencies have not developed adequate tools for measuring non-discrimination. Without routine monitoring of activities, there is no way to verify that if any agency is actually complying with Title VI. Failure to conduct proper monitoring leads the enforcement to private citizens filing lawsuits against state programs. And this comes on the findings of state agencies in Title VI. So this is a study that was done in Tennessee state agencies, Title VI of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, by W.R. Snodgrass, Comptroller of the Treasury of Office of Research, formerly published by the Office of Local Government, January 1994, reprinted October 1998. So this study is in a binded findings, a binded book that that pretty much tells that this has been going on, for years, and that they've actually put it in a book, and no one has actually opened it to even understand. So what's the recommendations, they say? And let's just say this still has something to do with the American Recovery Act, you guys. The Reinvestment Act for Preference for Projects to Generate Employment falls under these guidelines, which is Title VI, which is not being mentioned. Title VI entitles each one of you all to walk out on a project site and demand a job. And if they do not receive you in the manner that you're supposed to be received, and you see other people, I say folks that look like they're illegal immigrants and things working on the site, then you have a right to take pictures, and you have a right to go to the state of Georgia, wherever state you're living in, and say, look, I'm going to do some research. I don't believe this guy is an American citizen. I don't believe he works in the community, because that's what the American Recovery Act states, that it is a metropolitan area now. If the projects that are going on in your area and you have a child, or if you want to decide you want to work construction, you have a right to go out there and say, look, I live right around the corner here. I want to be a flag woman. I want to work in the office. I want to be a general laborer. I live right here in the community. These people are driving with out-of-state tags working in our state. This is what this workshop is for. This is to give you the empowerment of understanding the procedures and being your own, enforcing as a private citizen on the rights that you have to be a part of this STEM. It's your money, so why not, make do with the best means of doing so. And let me read something else to you guys. The recommendation that Mr. Snodgrass came up with, they said state agencies should redevelop procedures to conduct periodic Title VI on-site compliance review of federally assisted programs. State agencies should be pre-awarded monitoring systems to ensure that potential recipients are in compliance of Title VI. State agencies should also have post-award systems consisting of, 1, compliance reports from all program recipients, 2, compliance manuals detailing appropriate review procedures, and 3, an adequate number of post-award on-site reviews. In addition, each agency should develop a procedure for targeting recipients for review. State agencies should consider contacting their federal counterparts for guidelines in constructing compliance programs. The state of Georgia is required by under Title VI, not just the good faith, but as you can hear, that the rights are supposed to be given to individuals to go forward and say, look, I want to do this. So this altogether is a job by itself. That is one of the things that the coalition is moving in into this, when it gets into its their third quarter, is being a research and development statistic data-driven organization, because data does not lie. When you know for a fact that you got over 50,000 people who at one time were contractors in the state of Georgia that were so-called licensed business license-owned contractors, and then you take that 50,000 and you take 10, and that allocates to 5,000 now minorities throughout the entire state. Then you take that 5,000 and you go, less than 1% are women of color in business that are licensed general contractors in the state of Georgia. You know why? Because programs that have been in place, people, no disrespect to the folks who have these wonderful programs, but they have not built capacity. When people are going to classes in the middle of the most crucial time that the watershed program, and I make this very clear today, the watershed program was a great program if you were that type of person. But the watershed program diverted the attention of our best and brightest contractors that in a 500-mile radius of the state of Georgia, during the midst of where the license time was crucial. The folks who were at that watersheds program was never ever told that they needed to get their general contractor's license by July 8th, 2008. They never mentioned it because they didn't feel that was important. Now you got less than 1% of the mass individuals who are able, have been always, or that been are enabled now to not get a license. And now you have another whole different 25 years of struggle because the law was put in place just like the American Recovery Act. They put it in black and white. It was put into legislation code, and one of the most crucial parts of this is that if you don't understand that the legislation passed laws right under your noses and no one says a word. Now there's going to be some sub American Act, American Recovery Reinvestment subtitles that they're going to try to implement, but it strictly says that the states cannot do this, but mark my word, I guarantee you the state of Georgia will try it. That is why all the meetings that all the individuals that are organizations that we know about are meeting about projects that don't make any sense. I think we got an email from someone that stated that there was a $900 million project down in Hinesville, Georgia. Who in the world can qualify for a $900 million project in Hinesville, Georgia, with no kind of compliance officer, no kind of monitoring? We actually provided a bid down in Hinesville, and they said that the governor stated that he wanted minority participation. Well, the governor knew he had to make that announcement, but there's nobody technically monitoring and reviewing the compliance, because the compliance officers that they have for the state of Georgia has two jobs, two titles pretty much. And after a certain time, they're not an outside entity. They're employees. So guess what? They have the fox watching the hen house. And believe me what I'm telling you, that at the very end of the day, when this American Recovery Act hits, you see these projects, they call them ready-to-dig projects, but these ready-to-dig projects have just been postponed until this money actually hit. Those projects have been very well padded, and the money had been allocated already, but as we understand, the entities that are in power feel that women will not do anything because we're used to getting and getting things for free. We're used to being a goal-directive business. Too far along, I've heard women businesses say, "Well, I'll do the paperwork for the $20 million. So I'll do." Yeah, that's a joke, but they'll do the most minute thing and think they're going to get the most amount of money for it, for using their certification. I hope to God they get rid of the certification program in one sense, because it actually cripples the women's ability to be strategic and teaming. The word team and teaming with other women on businesses are almost like John McCain stating he would put Michelle Obama as vice president if he won. So, you know, I wanted to share that with you guys, because any of the information I'm talking about leads to the seminar tomorrow. And that is so important to understand, that there's more to this than just employment. This is how individuals are going to have the ability to qualify for the contracts themselves as well. The contracts are very specific that states that the individuals that are working on the project have to have prerequisites already in place. They have to have some of the provisions already in place, infused in the infrastructure of that business. In other words, people like C.W. Matthews, who has a high that has been hiring people, young men in rural areas for all these years that have a great track record in the rural parts of the South, they're in position. I don't blame H.J. Russell for what they C.W. Matthews. C.W. Matthews has put together infrastructure of how to reach out in the community throughout the whole state and have hired over 500 people in different parts of the state and has stated they had to lay off 500 people. Now, out of the 500 people that they laid off, how many do you believe were women of color? And then how many do you believe were actual subcontractors who had sustainability provisions in their business so that when they got laid off or work stopped, that they didn't go out of business? See, that is what one of the things that we wanted to go over in the the seminar tomorrow. One of the things that that's very important is I'm just trying to find the outline for tomorrow's event as well as I'm talking here. One of the things that we're going to do tomorrow is meet the apprenticeship training coordinators at the union and then tour the 40,000 square foot training facility that I said that was located at 3500 Atlanta Industrial Drive, Northwest Atlanta, Georgia. We want to take the other points that we're going to go over is take advantage of networking opportunities designed to create powerful relationship with executives of the regional council and the carpenters that are in Georgia, North Carolina, and South Carolina. Instead of continuing to try to everybody's piled up like crabs in a bucket here in Georgia, but there's opportunities outside of Georgia. If you build teams right now, you'll be mobilized and mentally and socially and financially in order to go other places to survive. And that's one of the things that we have offered as a result of our signatory responsibilities and being a part of the union, the carpenters itself. The other thing is that one of the objectives tomorrow is to build alliances with some of our national executive boards of the coalition by joining in with the NCWCC. I like to mention that one of our poised and most exciting financially, socially, human capital strapped contractors is Margaret Gardner with BCCI out of Chicago, Illinois, who has a $20 to $30 million bonding capacity and is building Sam's Clubs as a prime contractor on her own by herself. No JV partners, period. And that's a black woman that's been in business 20-plus years. So those are the type of women that we're talking about that are signatory to the carpenters, have been signatory to the carpenters for years and has grown her business as, like I said, $10 to $30 million a year in contract bonding capacity. She has the capacity to bond projects. One of the other points is to attend the forum discussions designed to empower your success and build a capacity as business owners. We discussed that early. And then how to utilize the existing, and I love this part, how to utilize the existing infrastructure of the contracting industry, providing a methodology and eliminating the current barriers that impedes business growth. That is going to be an awesome situation, and strategic planning is the only way that each one of us are going to remain in business, how to utilize not just outside resources, but resources to utilize what's already in place the systems are already in place, and what we do not use, as I've read earlier with Title VI, we're not using that Title VI standard in order to put pressure or to add pressure or to add, not pressure, that's the wrong word. You don't have to pressure anything when it's actually right. You know, when you break the law, you know you broke the law. But when you stand for right and you know you're standing in right, then you don't have any problems. So you're actually, this is not, you know, you're privileged to this Title VI because this has been in place since 1964. And a lot of people are haggle about not utilizing the full effects of Title VI and what that means in terms of federal dollars are concerned. And then the other thing is we're going to have a discussion on upcoming workshops on how to work with the union and eliminating myths and historical barriers about being a union contractor. One of the greatest contractors in the state of Georgia that everybody loves is C.D. Moody. C.D. Moody was signatory to the union in 2002 and had all carpenters. The carpenters union built C.D. Moody. They built the capacity level for this firm in order to qualify on projects, not as a minority, but as a firm that could build. So the carpenters, C.D. Moody, were signatory to each other. And not sure where that relationship is now, but I'm sure everybody understands what I'm trying to get at. The union has built many, many businesses in terms of their workforce, because if your workforce does not understand just the basics in construction, then your workforce is a liability for you. Your workforce, your Pookies and your Manuels and all those individuals who are not trained in the field are liabilities, and that's why you can't grow your business. The reason why you won't grow your business is that you're so busy looking at paying real professionals money so that you can go ahead and do something else. You know, when the union scales are no better and no different than the Davis-Bacon Act. It is conducive to the Davis-Bacon Act on these federal projects. That is what is supposed to be paid. And instead of you guys looking at that, you say, I don't want to pay anybody $26 an hour, but the government is already paying you $26 and does allow you with 8% overhead and 10% profit. And yet you rather take the money out of the person's pocket that could actually make you more money and try to put $6 or $10 back in your pocket so you can buy that Escalade and all the things that most of you all buy when you receive a nice check. And instead of paying your employees, you decide to go ahead and pay yourselves and say, well, I need this. I deserve this. You know, that's me rambling, but let's just move forward with that. And the schedule goes for tomorrow. It starts at 2 o'clock, the agenda, and we'll have a reception to meet and greet the union contractors and whoever that's there. And between 2:30 and 3, we're going to have a tour of the apprenticeship and training facilities by the apprenticeship coordinators. And between 3 and 3:30, a discussion will revolve around the challenges and opportunities for women of color in contracting, winning and maintaining contracts. That's going to be a very, very in-depth discussion, and that's going to show an evolving way of maintaining a strategy and being successful on projects that have nothing to do with goals, has nothing to do with DBE, has something to do with being able to have capacity to go anywhere in the country and work. Then, which is very crucial, is shortly into that discussion is a discussion on what other people do not want to listen to, which is financial responsibilities as a signatory contractor to the Carpenters Union. The panelist on that is going to be a business agent, pension fund representative, and then the questions and answers. And then at 4 to 4:30, exploring contract opportunities regarding the American Recovery and Investment Act, preference for people. That is something that we're going to do ourselves, how to build capacity. We have a list of projects that we as a coalition have been invited to work with prime contractors throughout the country to help them build their capacity on federal projects that are, you know, using SBA, small business, 8A, hub zone type of features in firms inside the industry. So we've been welcome to provide the type of structure that makes sense to us. And then I want to let everybody know that you can register online at ncwcc2009.eventbrite.com, which is eventbrite.com. You can register online, or you can call the reservation number 866-956-2922. Or go to our site at ncwcc.org. And this event is being sponsored by Concept Enterprises and Consulting Information Services, MC Square, which is a sales and distribution of Management Computer Controls, Inc. The website is www.ceciservices.com. The product MC Square Ice is an end-user tool for estimating, which represents the most complete and user-friendly system on the market and easily integrated into a day-to-day operations in a fraction of time it takes to implement other software tools. So if you go to the site, you can also review a 9-minute demonstration of MC Square Ice estimating software. You're able to hitting the escape button, you during the play, you provide a toolbar to either pause, stop, play, or rewind. In this demo site, you can link to www.mc2ice.com/downloads/demo2.htm. So that is a review of what is taking place tomorrow. We certainly hope that folks understand that we've had technical difficulties today regarding the switchboard. Another thing is I want to bring some news to light. Today had an interesting call from but Youth Build, which is the coalition's Youth Build Foundation for the organization to empower our young people, not just in construction, but in our multimedia and music and applied science. We certainly want folks to understand that our mission is to build capacity, but we also have to provide a capacity and sustainability for our young folks. We have to leave them more than just debt and dismay. So I certainly want folks to understand that we had this call today. It's pretty interesting, but it came from the Youth Build program out of Boston. A young lady mentioned to us that they have trademark, I guess, rights, if you say Youth Build, in anywhere, that they have national rights over the two words Youth Build. So In lieu of everything else, we're going to keep the Youth Build Foundation name because, as we said before, we built capacity in involving the Youth Build name because we applied for the Youth Build grant, as I strongly told the young lady, and that we have requested back November 20th opportunity to represent the site levels of a Youth Build program. And so we decided not just to be a program, but to install a foundation where 15% of everything that we earn as a coalition goes into the Youth Build program. So anything that we do goes directly into the Youth Build Foundation for our young people and to implement scholarships and opportunities for exploratory ways for our young people to explore being an architect, especially our women of color. There are only 200 African-American women architects in the United States. And I thought that was very interesting. We have joined forces with a very unique sister that is an architect, Dynamic, had been an architect in her mind when she was 12 years old. And the young lady is named Nadine Levy from Upbuild Design, and her firm has stepped in and brought a different light to some of the things that we should do in applying the information out there for young people. And I'm going to give you guys her website. It is www.upbuilddesign.com. And the architect, she's the principal, Nadine Levy. And she is also architect design and project management services that they provide to education, institutions, commercial, multifamily. She's also a certified 8A, SBE, DBE, WBE, MBE. And so she has positioned herself to make sure that nobody misses her at all. And so we certainly appreciate her time that she's placed in efforts. And we also want to thank our Southeastern representative, Ms. Christine Hearns, at CJ Hearn Construction. And, of course, she has all the E's in hers, but she also is a WBE and 8A certified firm and one of our licensed general contractors, one of that 1%. And they specialize in concrete, environmental hazards, asbestos, lead and mold abatement, asphalt, paving, grading, demolitions, interior build-out. And Ms. Hearns has been in business since 1984 as C.J. Hearn Construction right here in Atlanta, Georgia. And she has been tremendously moving the Southeastern challenge here to bring light to the women that and men and trying to get folks employed with her firm. And she's been awarded some very strong awards through her efforts in providing jobs for the community, for folks who would never be employed. She will let them work. So we certainly appreciate her efforts, and we want to invite everybody out again on tomorrow to the event, the forum that's at the Carpenters 3500 Atlanta Industrial Drive Northwest. And we also want to invite all those attendees, have a very unique treat. We have our co-executive director out of Tennessee, who is providing a ladies' night show for all of the women who want to come to a fabulous place in downtown Decatur, Parker's On Pont, which is a very good, very, very nice restaurant. And the owners of the restaurant are folks who have grown up in the neighborhood. They are very, very nice young men who are looking to help support our efforts. Their mother was a council person, and their dad, as I found out yesterday, actually wrote the legislation to write in law Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday. So it's very amazing that these gentlemen, also Caucasian men, who have opened up their facility. It is a wonderful, used to be mixed on East Ponce de Leon, downtown Decatur, and that is going to be a wonderful venue to sit back and be lifted to another level by the next level, Mario Coleman, in Central Whispers, and being talked to and treated ladies like ladies for that evening. And that is a free event for our individuals who are attending the workshop, and that is going to be from 11 o'clock to 1:30. The drinks, the bar is Dutch, However, it is a very wonderful atmosphere. It is right across the street from the courthouse that's there. The parking is free in the garage behind Parker's. It's called Parker's on Ponce. And for some reason I can't find the address. But if you would contact the office, you would be able to get a great direction. But if you go to the and register, you automatically receive a flyer to get in and enjoy a couple hours out on a Thursday instead of a Friday night. It'll be a nice evening out, and you can get home in enough time to get you some rest, because that's what business owners do. Want to also thank Dr. Albany Hornbuckle, who is our Director of Health and Wellness, who has provided a lot of insight to the coalition and what we should do in preventive health and in terms of maintaining our health and identifying things that we need to do as women in order to take care of ourselves. So we want to make sure that all of that has been placed out in the atmosphere, and thank the folks who have helped. I also want to thank Nicole Scott from Giovanna Constructors. That is our ambassador for membership. She has actually put out the word on the event. And I also want to go back and give Dr. Hornbuckle's information. She's at 925 Main Street, Suite 108, Stone Mountain, Georgia. And her website is www.lovingcarechiropractic.com, and her firm is Loving Care Family Chiropractor LLC. And I also wanted to forgot to mention that CJ Hearn Construction's website is cjhearnconstruction.com. You've been able to look at some of Mrs. Hearn's projects, and we certainly hope that we have an opportunity to meet with people who want to come out and learn how to build sustainability within the industry. The last thing that I wanted to go over is a complete outline of what the overall objective is for the coalition, involving some of the future projects that we've been mentioning over the past weeks. Uniquely, we've been able to negotiate and work out a deal with Legacy Bank out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. This bank is owned and operated and founded and built by four African-American women. The bank was founded 10 years ago, and those individuals that founded that bank has conceded to be a part of the coalition and its mission to empower women involved in the industry. So we certainly hope those individuals will continue to back us, support us. Hello? Yes, and I certainly want to mention that the coalition has a mission to partner with other organizations that may do the same thing, and it's okay. We do want to partner with Women Flying High. We would love to partner with them and utilize some of our resources to help them on a national level. We also want to extend ourselves to the Black Chamber of Commerce and the Black Contractors Associations and NAMAC There's a sister that's the person in charge. Her name is Margaret Muhammad, I believe. We hope and believe that if we continue to do what we're trying to do and utilizing this broadcast, thank God my mother birthed me to talk, because we normally have a whole form of individuals that, but that's not taking place. As again, that we do what we have to do when times like this happen. So we will definitely not have this problem next week. And the last thing is that I want everybody to go to our website, and a lot of people says a lot of information on it, but there's a lot of things going on, guys. And because we have so much going on, it is so imperative that we wrap ourselves around the proper information instead of the information that a lot of people are trying to decipher. And as we said, again, this American Recovery Act is very tremendous in understanding how you build your capacity with utilizing this act, and what we have to, what this act actually utilizes when it comes down to the people and things of that nature. So I certainly want to impose on everyone that we certainly have a very good platform. One of the things that I will say is that on every show up until this day, we have read what the American Recovery Act is and what it actually means to you all. I really didn't want to get a lot into that on this show. We certainly ask people to come out, because it's imperative that you understand for your own the information that's in hand. You don't have to dig in and create a different wheel or anything else of that nature. What we ask you to do is have an opportunity to be informative. I want to share with you four of the main points that is going to be very key. And the one thing I want to read off to everybody when it comes to this particular thing is that preference for projects generating employment and using funds made available in this act for infrastructure, including school construction, recipients shall give preference to projects that commit to both of the following. One, attain each of the following employment-related objectives through contractual provisions with all construction employers working on the project. One is the utilization to the maximum extent by law of individuals registered in bona fide apprenticeship programs registered with the U.S. Department of Labor or with the state apprenticeship agency recognized by the department. The utilization to the maximum extent allowed by the law of individuals registered in bona fide apprenticeship programs. I need not say more, but I will say again that the National Coalition is a signatory organization, business, to the apprenticeship program. And I also made some good leeway and something that I did not know, but the only requirement to be a part, to become an apprentice in Local 225 is that you can always apply. There's no guidelines outside of the fact that you must have a valid Social Security card, a valid Georgia driver's license, cash check, a money order for union dues, a drug screen, and a background check. That those charges is $88.20 for 4 months of union dues plus a $35 enrollment fee to the JATC. And then you must pay your union dues each month. But it's an open door policy. It does not discriminate against who can apply. Classes start next week, so if you have sons and daughters who are laying around who graduated last year and you want them to start receiving some certified training in the Union. Shake $88.20 out of your pockets. Give us a call. We can get them enrolled into the apprenticeship, or you can go directly to them yourself. We always ask that you try to go through us, but it is an open-door policy. Met with Mark Brown, who is one of the directors of the union, and he's giving me this handout. And your union dues each month is $22 per month, which is due on the first of each month. And you will have your kids, or even yourself, if you retired and want to maybe go back into something else, or if you're a woman that wants to change up, or a man that wants to change up and choose a different career opportunity, you have an opportunity to enroll into the apprenticeship program. And applications will be accepted Tuesdays and Thursdays from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. The business agents are in the office between 7 a.m. and 10 a.m. and 3:30 p.m. and 5 p.m. to 5 p.m. The members' fees are subject to change, but that's all I'm going to say about that. We have this information that we'll probably make available online as well. But I want to read something that they also gave me. Well, it says apprenticeship and training, fully trained carpenter plus work ethics equals employment. All members of Local 225 can attend classes at the Joint Apprenticeship Training Center for free. If you're interested in becoming an apprentice after you have become a member of Local 225, you may apply at the JATC program. The Joint Apprenticeship Training Center will schedule you a diagnostic exam so that you can be assigned to an appropriate group. You must be a member in good standing of the local union 225 to join the program, and you must remain a member of good standing to remain in the enrolled program. So you can see either Martin Poole or Scott Kelly to schedule a test or information about classes. But classes will start, ladies and gentlemen, next week, Monday. So get your children up out of the bed who have graduated the last 2 years and have not gotten a job, and go ahead and get them into some training that you can afford. They encourage journeyman members to take full advantage of continuing education to increase their skills and knowledge. We hope that at the end of our event tomorrow, all of us will have a different outlook on how we need to position ourselves as business owners first, as community individuals second, and opportunity to make ourselves available for just the opportunity to change the way we do business. The coalition, the national coalition, is changing the face of contracting. We're changing the way that we do business, the way that we are looked at while we're doing business. Our website does change from time to time. I also encourage anybody that have young people from ages 16 to 24 to contact our Youth Build Foundation. And you can go to the Youth Build Foundation site. It's youthbuildfoundation.org, or contact the Youth Build program at 888-442-9789. The Youth Build Foundation is a Youth Build art, music, and multimedia enterprise. And it also has a young musicians program, as well as a current amount of productions that we're bringing to the areas around the country. One of our current productions, yours truly, is an executive producer for a movie documentary that we're going to start this week. It's called Lineage of a jazz harpist, Dorothy Ashby, a tribute, and our executive co-director for the Youth Build the Next Level, is utilizing a music collaboration along with Destiny Muhammad, which is our executive director, who is a Grammy artist that plays the harp, and her wonderful husband, Chriswell Muhammad and Destiny Muhammad, that are out in California, that are leading our youth mentoring program in the entertainment field with the industry professionals, music unions, and the stagehands union, ISTA, which is something that a lot of people don't understand, that the stagehands union is just as prominent and a well opportunity for our young people and people all together to get jobs. It's something that we had a tremendous opportunity to be blessed and know that that we are available to expand our thought process past just construction. And then we also have our applied arts and science that we're working with Nadine Levy from Upfield Design, and fostering a mentoring program for women of color. And, that's just where we are, women of color who want to be involved in the construction inside the architectural careers, because we're looking at jobs and one love and careers on the other. We are the change. We have become the change, and we certainly hope that a lot of people look at the coalition as not a competitive situation, but a way to jointly come together and work out differences that make no sense to have. As organizations, if you're a minority-formed organization, we are all in the same boat. Our organization is no better than yours. We have the same trials and tribulations that each business owner has. Also want to inform everybody that a study was done through the Center for Women Business Research in collaboration with Babson College, which created Accelerating the Growth of Businesses Owned by Women of Color. It was a groundbreaking multi-year research initiative to identify the barriers to businesses growth faced by women business owners of color, and to develop action plans, which we have done, to overcome these barriers at a personal, community, and national level. NCWCC has been committed by these findings from this national initiative that has neutralized a new synergy of women, policymakers, and industry executives. We have deepened our knowledge while opening up opportunities for all women to grow their businesses. We ask you to reach out and look at our site and to go to and review the study from July 2008 and look at the contents that's on the site, and open up your minds to the women who participated in the study. And it was a 3-year study, cost $5 million to do the study, and it was a great synergy of women that I was a part of with the Atlanta research team, myself personally. And it was certainly an experience to understand that there are women that are out here that are doing $150 million a year. I mean, I know they're not Oprah. However, if I'm doing $150 million plus a year and nobody knows that I exist, you know, what can we say? So we ask people to look at the site and read, because that's half our problem. And, you know, one of the things that I've always been told is that if you put something in a book, we won't ever get it, because we don't like reading. I've watched people glance through stuff. I watch people trail through our website and not look at the most important points of it. And one of them, I always say, if you don't read anything else, read the front page. Take your time, print it off, and read the front page. And one of the things that I wanted to share with you is that NCWCC is poised, and that's the word, as a signatory Southeastern Carpenters Regional Council Union organization. God, that sounds good. That has initiated a seamless, comprehensive succession plan for its members. NCWCC support is built around a strategic alliance team of successful minority-owned construction firms. And people say, well, people say here in Georgia, we don't know, heard anything about the NCWCC. And I said, and the people at the carpet have never heard anything about you. So which one do you think I'm impressed by? You, the people that are running around in the crab bucket, or the people who own and are looking to work with us and build relationships so that we can make money together? Guess what? I'll take the further one, you know. So it also states that we have relationships that date back 20-plus years with AFL-CIO women and non-traditional tradeswomen organizations. Department of Labor approved joint apprenticeship curriculums and the Brotherhood of Carpenters Local 225 and the South Georgia, North Carolina, and South Carolina. Our national executive board are CEOs of firms with over combined experience of 40 years in commercial contracting industry. Collectively, they execute and participate in approximately $10 billion of construction projects on an annual basis and are considered some of the top primer construction firms in the nation. And we have featured, who I feel has been a wonderful woman that's able to, you can call her and you can talk to her, and well, I can talk to her when I need to, is Margaret Gardner, who developed Broadway Consolidated Companies, Inc. in 1999 in Chicago, Illinois, with a commitment to take a giant step beyond merely building structures. Her pledge was to focus on human capital development by partnering with her clients that impacted communities. BCCI is signatory to the Carpenters in Chicago metro area, and if you want more information about Ms. Margaret Gardner, you can go to our website and click on to her site, www.broadwaybcci.com. Each month, we will be reviewing the 12 most fascinating women that I've ever ran across on the globe regarding contracting. And I certainly want everybody to know that there is no shame in the fact that there are just a few of us, but it would be a shame that down the line there will be just a few of us. We must step up the game. We must start to reach across the windows and look at women of American Indian, Asian, Native Hawaiian, Pacific Islanders, all women of color with African descent. We want to establish one systematic voice in the construction and the construction and industry-related fields. That is one of our goals in building sustainability and building a social network and building human capital networks and financial capital networks. I believe that we have made this commitment, and I believe that in attracting these elements that we have, which are interdependent, it also gives us an opportunity that leads to success. We, as business owners, it's one thing that I've one of the things that I always do when I change the website from week to week or day to day, I like quoting some of our past and some of our heroes of our past. And one thing that I will state is that Madam C.J. Walker stated that I am in the business world not for myself, but to do all the good I can to uplift my race. And so therefore, I look at this and say, that's a woman that started, pressing and getting them kinks and knots out of our head back in the day. We certainly want to expound on the fact that there are women who are capable, women of color who have capabilities that women down here in the South, and I hate to say it, do not feel that they have an opportunity to do that. We have women here that feel that you have to fight for everything, and there's nothing to fight for here. Everything is already on our plate. All we have to do is just put the fork on it. We have practiced one of the most important things to become this type of organization, and that is that commitment to be the change. If our business has stepped up, and our company, my family firm, has stepped up, and we have written check after check, month after month, for this purpose. And we also, I forgot to say, we are now accepting applications for membership. So the membership application is not one that you will see online, because the coalition is not for everyone. You can contact the coalition's office or send an info email, and we will mail you out a membership brochure. Please do not send any money at any time. You will be instructed on whether or not you will be allowed to be a member of the coalition. We are not a nonprofit. We're an association that is in business to make money and to have people, everybody around us, to make money. So therefore, we make no gripes about who we want in terms of our core group of individuals that we work with, in terms of what we're trying to accomplish. We cannot stress enough to everyone that you really need to be at this event tomorrow. I see that a lot of people are starting to register now, and our show will be going off the air here shortly in the next 90 seconds. So I certainly want to stress again that the National Coalition's mission, and I want to make sure I read this, NCWCC exists to focus on accelerating the growth of women of color in contracting or the construction industry, from startup and existing businesses, by advocacy, social capital, succession planning, education, sustainability strategies. Isn't that wonderful? Technical assistance, a charge to keep, I have. I want to let everybody know that that is something that I promised God, my family, and a few others, that if God was to deliver, as God continued to deliver us from glory to glory, from moment to moment, I want to say, a charge to keep I have, a God to glorify, who gave his son for my soul to save and fit for the sky. This was written by Charles Wesley and Lowell Mason. And 1 Corinthians says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. 1 Corinthians 4:2. I want to thank everybody for listening. I think this is a very unique show that I can talk for an hour and 30 minutes and not be tired. So God bless everybody, and please make sure that you come to the event tomorrow between 2 and 5 and be a part of this change. This is going to be a memorable opportunity to be some of the first people to become a part of this change. Thank you, and I thank our listeners, and God bless everyone, and everybody have a very safe and joyful evening, and we hopefully see everybody tomorrow night as well at Parker's on Ponce, on East Ponce de Leon in Decatur, Georgia. Last but not least, I'm not sure how this is going to happen, but surely, God, this program will be ending in about 5 more seconds. So thank you, and God bless you for all that you have done to continue to support the coalition and its efforts. I want to thank Maggie Boynes Freeman, Janora Boynes, Ms. Christine Hearns, Dr. Hornbuckle, Nicole Scott from Giovanna Constructors. And everybody have a great night. Thank you.